from the 24th chapter, praise God, of the Gospel according to St. Luke. The 24th chapter, the Gospel according to St. Luke, and we're going to read in your hearing verses 1 through 10. Praise God. And it reads as follows. I'll be reading according to the New American Standard Version. It says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened that while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling apparel. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen.'" Now, we're going to read through verse 10, but let me tell you something. We ought to be shouting right now. Yeah, right. Amen. Yeah. Praises be to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, these are the greatest words that humanity will ever hear, that we have a Savior who is risen. Hallelujah. Praises be to God. It goes on here in this verse 6, it says, "Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. Yes. And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James. Also other women with them were telling these things to the apostles." Praises be to God. We thank him for his word. Indeed, it is true and blessed forever. If it be the Lord's will, we're going to speak on this thought and this theme, even this thesis, praise God, and that is the reasons for the resurrection. Hey. Praises be to God. I said the reasons for the resurrection. I don't know about y'all, but I'm excited that we get to get beyond where we have been. See, a lot of folk done told a story as to what happened. And all of that's fine and good. Some have even went so far as to let us know how it happened and when it happened. Praise God, we have some measure of time. We know it was a little over 2,000 years ago. But there's some better news, praise God, that God wants us to understand. There's some deeper news and some broader aspects that God wants us to glean from, because it's going to make the difference as to whether our lives are richer and better and whether or not we're able to be at our best. And that is, God wants us to know why he did what he did. Good God Almighty. See, because the person who knows what happened can only tell somebody else that it happened. The person who knows when it happened can only document that and report that to other folks. The person who knows only how it happened can only document that. But the person who knows why it happened, themselves becomes a disciple, and they now become the instrumentality that God uses to disciple others, because they're motivated with the why. Good God Almighty. Oh, I love the inward working of things. I love to see God working things from the inward parts and from the root on up through the heights of things. And anytime you know why in life, you're going to be way ahead of somebody who just knows what, when, and how. Amen. According to, I'm quoting Dr. A.I. Thomas, President Emeritus of Prairie View A&M University. We thank God for great men that he's raised up in all kind of places. Praise God, to be able to teach us so that we can learn. As we continue here, praise God, we said the most important words came from that sixth verse, and that is that he is risen. What we're going to learn today is that because he is risen, praise God, that has totally transformed all of humanity throughout time and throughout all of eternity. Praise God, and I'm excited to be able to report the news that he is risen. Amen. When we think about the reasons for the resurrection, the first thing that I want to be able to share with you, praise God, and we're going to be doing this in series form. We'll probably have at least four or five more parts that we'll be dealing with, praise God. The first thing that we want to cite as the reason was so that the gospel could be preached. Well, Bishop, are you sure that's the first reason? That was the reason? There were a whole lot of reasons that we're going to discover and that we'll go deeper in. The first one was so that the gospel could be preached. The second one, so that our sins could be forgiven. The third one is so that we can be released from the bondage of sin and death. Some people don't even know that they're enslaved, that they are slaves to sin, apart from Christ being in their lives. And the fourth thing that we'll discover as we go throughout this series is the eternal peace and fellowship that we have with God that has been restored as a result of the fact that Christ is risen. And we'll investigate all of these. But our task today, and maybe even next week, because this one is the deepest one, is so that the gospel itself could be preached. Praises be to God. Now, Bishop, what is this thing about the gospel being preached? Why is this the first thing out the gate when we start to investigate the reason for the resurrection? Why is there so much excitement and enthusiasm as you embark upon this series and as you investigate this first reason? The reason why I'm so excited about the fact that the gospel being preached is because everything else that has taken place is premised upon this very thing. The word gospel, praise God, translates, it means good news. And the good news really comes in three major parts. Number one, first and foremost, is that God came and dwelt among men and took on human form for a purpose in the first place. That the Christ child was born. That's the first part. We see that in John 3:16. It says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I'm excited about the gift, and I don't just wait for Christmas to celebrate it.
Hey. Glory, glory.
Because without the Christ child, we don't have a Savior who is risen.
My God.
My God.
My God.
So the first part of it is that God so loved us in the first place that he gave to us himself. Oh, somebody needs to hear me. I said I'm trying to let us discover the reasons for the resurrection. The first reason is so that the gospel could be preached. What is the gospel, Bishop Giles? It's that God came, dwelt among us, and that he died on Calvary's cross for our sins, shed his blood that our sins might be remitted, and that on the third day morning he raised. There's three parts of the gospel story. And without telling all three, the rest of it doesn't even make sense. He came and he was born of a virgin, produced by the Holy Spirit of God, so that he became the only begotten Son of God. God looked around. Please understand this. When Adam messed up in the Garden of Eden, when he and Eve messed up there, God was separated from the crown of his creation. That's you and me. That's all of mankind, that is humanity. There was a separation that took place. A fellowship was broken. And God wanted to make sure that that got restored. And the only way he could do it was to find somebody who could fix what Adam broke. He needed somebody who could get right what Adam and Eve got wrong. He needed someone who could live a life of obedience to him, because that is what sin is. Sin is disobedience to God. So the opposite of sin is obedience to God. He needed somebody who could live a life of complete obedience concerning his word and his will in their lives. And when he looked around, he realized that flesh was too weak to carry out the task. And as a result of that, God's by himself, Old Testament prophets reveal it, that God would by his own hand, by an outstretched arm and a mighty hand, he would bring deliverance and salvation to his people. God had to do it in his own strength, in his own might, according to his person, do what we were not able to do. Because he's the only one who's sinless. Man is sinful. God is sinless. And as a result of that, God himself came for the sole purpose of dying in your place and mine. Somebody needs to hear the gospel today. I said the reason for the resurrection was so that the gospel could be preached. If there was no resurrection, then the first parts of the story would not even matter. The fact that God came, the fact that he died and his blood was shed would not even matter had he not risen. Somebody needs to hear the gospel. Somebody needs to hear the full gospel story. Yes, that he came, put on human flesh in the likeness of man, died on Calvary's cross, suffered a brutal and humiliating, shameful death to take the place and to take the punishment for you and me. And then with his priceless blood, he shed it on Calvary's cross so that your sins and mine could be done away with. And then on the third day morning, he did what was necessary to make the first two parts of the story make sense, to make it relevant. And that is that he showed himself as God so that the story was legitimized when he got up. That's why Christ said, he said, I lay my life down for you, but I pick it up again because I have the power to do it. Please understand me. In the gospel story, there are two major parts that we get. Number one, we get the love of God, because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Oh, but don't forget the other part. That is, the power of God is revealed in the resurrection. By the birth of God, by the fact that he died, that reveals the love of God to us. Please come testify scripture. Romans 5 and 8 says it this way. It says that God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Through the death of Christ, the love of God is revealed. Through the resurrection of Christ, the power of God is revealed. Oh, bless the name of our God today. Bless the name of our God today. I said somebody needs to know the reasons why God did what he did. Somebody needs to know the reasons why the Savior had to come, had to suffer and die and shed his blood, and why he had to get up so that we would know that he is risen. This gospel story had to be preached. Why did it have to be preached, Bishop Giles? Because if this gospel would not be preached, there would be no such thing as a Christian, because they wouldn't know the Christ. Amen, somebody. Romans 10 and 17 says it this way. It says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We could not obtain faith in God had we not heard the word of God. The gospel had to be preached so that the Christ, praise God, who came, hung, bled, and died, and who raised himself with all power in his hand, that we might become aware of this and in faith receive him, that we might have the redemption of the sins that God had forgiven. Good God Almighty. I said the gospel had to be preached. Somebody please walk with me. Turn with me just for a moment, if you will, to 1 Peter. Praise God, the first chapter. We're fixing to get ready to teach up in here. Praise you, God, today. Yeah, we're getting ready to teach a little bit. 1 Peter, praise God. Let's look at chapter 1 and let's look at verse 18. You can go back and read all of the other stuff later, but I'm going to cut to the heart of it as we teach this word today. It says this in 1 Peter 1 and 18. It says, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, you were futile or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of the Lamb unblemished, spotless, the blood of Christ, for he was foreknown before the foundation of the world. Please, please, please don't miss that. We're going to continue, but don't miss that. In other words, God knew that Adam was going to miss it and mess it up before Adam was ever created. That's why Christ is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Amen, somebody. Amen. Listen at this. He says, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. If Christ did not rise, we would not believe in God, and nor would we have faith and hope in God, had Christ not risen. As I said, the first reason is so that this gospel could be preached, and so that men, women, boys, and girls could come to faith in Christ in order that they might believe in God, have faith in God, and have their hope in God. Thank God for the gospel message. Let's turn and let's get a little deeper. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And let's look at, praise God, we're going to start at verse 12. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and let's start at verse 12. It says here, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? See, for a person to conclude that there is no resurrection is to act as if Christ is still lying dead in the grave. But because Christ is risen, so we too have the hope of the resurrection that is in Christ, that we would spend eternity with God after having done our time here on earth. We have that hope as Christians. No one else has that hope because it's only in Christ. Look at verse 13. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Oh, somebody need to hear the word of God today. See, we don't have anything to preach if Christ is not risen. As I said, the first reason is so that this gospel could be preached, so that this good news could reach the heart, mind, and souls of man. I thank God for the reasons for the resurrection, amen. Amen. I thank God for the fact that God did this so that this gospel could be preaching, that men could come to faith and belief and hope in God, amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Let's move a little deeper. Yeah, he says here in verse 14 of this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also what? Is vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we witnessed against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is what? Worthless. Your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. God said, you can't worship a dead God. Now that differs from what the world does. See, men will create stuff with their own hands and then bow down before it. Knowing it's dead. Knowing that they created it and that the God didn't create them. But men will worship falsely, and God calls that worthless. He said, and even concerning himself, if Christ is not risen, then we too would be amongst worthless worshipers. But our worship is priceless because we worship the risen Savior. Amen. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And not only would our faith be worthless, but he says that we would still be in our sins. Good God Almighty. We would still be separated from God, and we would still spend eternity without God if Christ is not risen. But because he is risen, our faith is priceless, and we are no longer in our sins. Verse 18 says, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. Good God Almighty. I don't know about you, but I thank God for the risen Christ. I thank God for the fact that the grave is empty. It was empty over 2,000 years ago, and it's still empty now. It was empty when Mary, good God Almighty, and the crew that was with her, the women that was with her, went to go check the grave. It was empty then, and it's empty now. It was emptied when the women went and reported it to the men, to the apostles who had followed Christ. It was empty then, and it's empty now. But while I'm there, good God Almighty, somebody needs to hear the word of God. Let's turn back, if you will, please, to our main scripture, Luke 24. Matter of fact, let's stay there. Please hear this now. Look at what verse 10 says. It says, now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, also other women with them, were telling these things to the apostles. Bishop, why did you take the time to go back and read these women's names? Because they were the first one to preach the gospel.
That's right.
I'm sick and tired of lies in the church that women can't, ain't no, they shouldn't be no women preachers. Listen. Women preached the gospel before men ever heard the news. It was women who preached the gospel to the men so that the men could go preach the gospel.
Wow.
And God had already prophesied in the book of Joel saying that he would pour his spirit out upon your sons and your daughters. Now, that didn't happen until a few days later on the day of Pentecost, after Christ had risen. That happened on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit was poured out. And Peter testified of what the prophet Joel had spoken, saying, this is the day to where the Holy Spirit has been poured out on your sons and your daughters. Well, what is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit, Bishop Giles? He is the one who testifies of Christ. He is the one who commissions us and anoints us in the work that God has given us. Apart from the Holy Spirit, there is no anointing to teach or preach God's word. There is not only no task of teaching and preaching God's word, there is no office to serve in. He functions, he causes the functionality of both operation and office. So a person cannot delineate to say, okay, well, fine, give the women the operation, but they can't have the office. Listen to me. That comes with the package deal with the Holy Spirit. And don't forget it. But to understand the completeness of Scripture, we know that that God has purposed for women not to usurp authority over a man. So guess what? As long as that woman is operating under authority, under the covering that God has placed in her life, she's able to perform, according to Scripture, whatever task God has anointed her for and serve in whatever office or capacity God has placed her in. So let's get it straight. Good God Almighty, let's preach this gospel. let's preach this gospel, whether it be a man or whether it be a woman, whether it be a donkey or whether rocks are crying out. God said if we don't do it, then the rocks will cry out. Lord have mercy. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of seeing people die and bust hell wide open. And I don't have time to be trying to regulate and trying to suture and shut the mouths of folk who God didn't open their mouths so that the gospel could be preached. Jesus answered the question this way. Those who are not against us are with us.
Yes, that's right.
Good Jesus. God Almighty. We don't have time to be trying to spend all our time trying to undo and speak against and contradict what God has done. Huh? Turn with me to, let's go a little deeper. Let's go to Matthew, praise God. And let's look just a little deeper here at verses, let's say Matthew 28. Let's look at verse 7. Let's start at verse 7. Let's go a little deeper. I just thought the Holy Spirit just wouldn't let me let this alone. Because obviously the Lord is sick and tired of the foolishness that's going on in the churches and in the pulpits. Talking about who can and who can't. If the only one who ought to be saying it is the Holy Spirit. And if it's laid out very clearly in Scripture, we need to stop this foolishness of wasting our time saying, oh, well, she ain't a man. So let's spend all of our effort trying to prevent her from sharing the gospel. Meanwhile, people dying and busting hell wide open. And not only that, God has already made it perfectly clear that he's called men and women and that he's anointed the same. Huh? Let's look at this. Matthew 28, verse 7. It says this. He says here, let's start at verse 6. He said, this is the angel speaking to the women. He said, he is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen. Listen here, that's significant. Let's go on and teach you why. See, first of all, God doesn't do anything by accident. Whatever he does on purpose. Okay? Let's understand that. And it was no accident that the women came to the tomb. God could have arranged it to where men came to the tomb first. Amen, somebody. Let's just tell the truth. But the women came to the tomb. And they were commissioned by the angels of the Lord to go tell the disciples that he is risen. They didn't go on their own accord. They didn't go according to their own will, but they went according to the will of God. The scripture says here in verse 7, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And they departed, verse 8 says, and they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, listen at this now, Jesus met them. Matthew gives more detail than Luke did. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. Did you hear that? Mm-hmm. Jesus met them and greeted them. Our Lord and Savior met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then look what happened in verse 10. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren. My Lord. Good God Almighty. Are you hearing me? First, they were commissioned by the angels. Listen, if God can't commission folk and man can't accept what God done and call himself worshiping God, he might want to question whether his worship is true or not. Huh? It says, then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren and leave for Galilee, and there they shall see me. Listen to me. These women are not only qualified as preachers. Please hear me today. If God so chooses, according to whatever anointing he wants to give, they're qualified to preach, to not only carry out the operation and the office of preaching, but pastoring and anything else that God so desires. The criteria for apostles was that they walk with Jesus during his earthly ministry. If God so called them to that, then so be it. If he called them to bishop, if he called them to apostle, whatever the Holy Spirit calls, operation or office, it's of the Holy Spirit. How can you test it, lest it be by the Spirit? And the only thing, and that which agrees with the Spirit is Scripture. These people received a direct commission by Christ himself. And those who receive a direct commission and have seen Christ and have heard an utterance from his mouth, those people not only qualify for the office of preacher, pastor, bishop, but they qualify for the office of the apostleship, because that is the criteria that Scripture reveals. Don't make me pray. Don't make me pray. I said the reason for the resurrection, was so that the gospel could be preached. And any blood-bought, born-again, baptized believer who calls himself a Christian need not be trying to find out ways to keep this gospel from being preached, seeing it was one of the reasons why Christ rose in the first place. Can we say amen in the church of Almighty God?
Amen. Yes, indeed.
Praises be to God. Let's move a little deeper here, and let's move a little higher. Let's turn to Luke, the fourth chapter. In the 18th verse of this fourth chapter, Christ is revealing. He's entered the house of God. This is when he first began his earthly ministry. Look at what he says here. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to do what? Preach the gospel." Can I tell you again that the whole aspect of the why he came, why he hung, bled, and died, and why he is risen is because so that the gospel could be preached? And that which Christ is commissioned to do, so are the Christians commissioned to do. For in Christ we live, move, and have our being. Yeah, same thing. Let us continue, praise God, preaching this gospel. Let us continue teaching God's word and leading his people in the things that God would have us to. Praise you, God, today. Let's look quickly, if you would, to Matthew 28. Let's go back to Matthew 28 here. We said already that his death was reflective of his love, and God wants us to know that his resurrection is reflective of his power. Amen, anybody?
Amen.
Praises be to God. Look at Matthew 28. Starting at verse 18, what we know as the Great Commission. Look at what he said to his disciples after he had risen. The scripture says here in Matthew 28 and 18, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." He wanted them to know that as the risen Christ, he had all power, all authority. That word authority means power, and it means right. He has all authority, he has all power, and he has every right to take control over everything and everyone, and even to commission us as Christians to do his bidding and to do his will. He says here in verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Good God Almighty. Yeah, we've been commissioned because of the resurrection of Christ. We've been commissioned because of the power and the authority. I said once again that his death reflected his love for us, but his resurrection reveals his power to us. Praises be to God. Let's go ahead a little deeper and affirm this thing. Ephesians, if you would. Praise God. Chapter 1. Let's also go to verse 18 there. Did I tell you we're going to learn something today?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's just teach the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians, the first chapter. Praise God. Verses 18. Starting at verse 18. Look at what the Lord says here. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he did what? Raised him from the dead. Good God Almighty. Let me read verse 20 again. Which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Let me read verse 19 and 20 again. I want this to get deep in our spirit. He says, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. What is the strength of his might? What was the revelation of the strength of his might and the power of God? It was when Christ was risen from the dead by God the Father. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
Please understand our salvation testimony. Romans 10 and 9 says it this way. That if we confess with our mouth Jesus Christ as Lord, and we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, then we shall be saved. It is when we testify to the resurrection that the salvation of God is extended to each and every one of us as believers, as Christians. If there is no resurrection, there is no salvation. Once again, the death of Christ reveals his love for us, because God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But it is in the resurrection of Christ that the power and might of God and the strength thereof is revealed to us, that God can not only save us from our sins, good God Almighty, but he can deliver us from the bondage of sin and death. And that he could restore us, praises be to God, to fellowship with him through Christ, who has in our place died and raised from the dead. Good God Almighty. And through our baptism, good God Almighty, somebody hear the word of God today. And through our baptism in the Lord Jesus Christ, we all die with him when we are submerged. But through our coming up, symbolizing the resurrection of Christ, we also shall live with him. Can I tell you, the gospel has been preached, the gospel will be preached, and the gospel is preached here today. And the reason for this gospel is so that we would know why, good God Almighty, not only what God has done, not only how and when he did it, but we'd know why he did it. Yeah. Because God does love us. And because his power now is not only revealed to us, but it's available to us, that we might live holy because God is holy. Thank God for the reasons of the resurrection, part one. In the name of Jesus the Christ, can we say amen in the house of God? Amen.